Today we're going to be looking at a few different things, but we are going to focus on some things that I think are very important in this church, in our world. And if you are a believer, one of the things I think we need to do is really understand what it means to be in the war that we are in. You can look around, you don't have to look very far, and you can see a lot of things that are going on. We see wars, as the Bible said, we see rumors of wars. And I'm not going to get into a lot of the end time stuff or anything like that today. I'm just saying this to say there is an awareness, at least we hope, within the Christian world that we have an adversary that wants to see the church not succeed. Satan, we understand, does not want you as a person to succeed and the world of Christianity to fail. But I'm here today to tell you this. I'm going to talk a little bit about Satan, who he is, the kind of things that he's doing. But I don't want this to be something that's going to just scare you. That's not the goal. The goal is to help us be prepared, not scared, okay? And I just hope today that we can get a good understanding of who we're dealing with and what we can do when he gains some victory in our lives, what we need to do. Because a victory for him is a defeat for us. I hope we understand that. So today we're going to look at, I'm just going to entitle it, The Entrapments of Satan. Now, if you know what an entrapment is, and I'm sure you do, it's just anything Satan can do or cause us to become. The Bible refers a lot when it talks about entrapment as a snare. So Satan is looking for many different ways, anything he can do, and he's fairly good at it, let me tell you, he's an adversary, in a way to snare us. And if you are a Christian and you're a believer and you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to know, if you're one of his, he cannot take your life by snaring you, okay? But one thing he can do, he can render you useless for God's work. If you're caught up in a snare today and don't know what to do, and he has rendered you useless, maybe in not all areas of your life, but even if it's in one area of your life, I need you to know there is a way out. You see, God doesn't leave us hopeless and helpless. He knows when we get in trouble that we have to turn to him. And that's what I want to encourage us to do today. But not only that, if we have a brother, a Christian brother or a sister that has become entrapped in some way in their life, and they're needing help, we need to be available to help. But there's a very specific way that we need to do that. We need to be very careful how we do it, very important. And you know what's interesting to me? Almost everyone I meet on a daily basis, and you say, how are you doing today? What do you think most of the answer is most common? Huh? Fine. Or what else? I'm good. Do you really think that every one of those people that you talk to every day are always good? It's amazing. But we just like to say that, even if we have turmoil going on. But some people will be open and honest and share with you that they are dealing with some severe problems, okay? So we just want to be aware that Satan is on the move, he's alive and well. And so I just want a little bit look at where Satan even came to be. As we know, Satan was an angel that God had created, Lucifer, sometimes referred to more. But really what the word we use a lot nowadays is the word Satan. And Satan means adversary or opponent. So you just think about that for a minute. He is against you and me. And anything, and I want you to remember this, any and everything that God has created. What does that cover? It covers everything. Satan is an opponent. He wants to destroy, we're going to see that in a minute, anything and everything that God has created. Why? Because it reminds him of God, and he knows he's doomed. So isn't it funny sometimes even people, you notice, when they're going down or they know they're going down, they're in trouble, they've done something wrong, they know there's no hope for them, so they want to take as many people with them as they can. Isn't that interesting? That's one of Satan's tactics, right? They don't want anyone else to do well if they're not going to do well, okay? And here we see, here's one of the things we read in Scripture, Isaiah 14:13. It says, talking about Satan here, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north." In other words, aren't I somebody? You ever feel that way? Man, look at me. I see it all the time. I have to guard that myself. Because we think the things that we've accomplished are all about me, what I've done. I want people to see what I've accomplished. You know, we see that in all kinds of things. And the problem is, that is pride. You see, Satan got to looking at himself, what a beautiful being he was that God had created, and it became a point of pride for him. So I just want to say this. When it comes to that, we need to be very, very careful as Christians and understand we don't have anything, and everything we have is only because of God, no matter what it is, okay? If we're going to amount to anything, we got to do it through him, and he's the only one that's going to give us that ability. And but Satan here, he decided that he kind of wanted that position. So there's times when we become what we call jealous, right? You ever see jealous people or deal with jealous people? That's a tactic of Satan. I just want you to know. We're going to look at some of his tactics because he is going about doing what he wants to do in the sense of the freedom he's been given to roam this earth and try to devour anyone he can, okay? He's for real. He's not a little man running around in a little red suit with a pitchfork, okay? He's for real. But I just want us to understand we need to be aware of some of his tactics. If we're not going to get caught in a snare, we need to know what are some of the snares and how he goes about trying to catch us in one. And I'll just tell you, when he catches you in one, you know what? There's only one way out, and that's through Jesus Christ. Okay, he can get such a stranglehold on your life, and it doesn't necessarily mean every part of your life, but if he can get a stranglehold on one part of it, he will continue to try and set snares for the rest of your life, okay, to do that. And like I say, it's just to keep you from being effective for God and for his work. And I don't want us to be ineffective. I want us to be out there doing something day to day, facing the enemy in God's strength, not your own. You will lose every time without God's strength. Satan is powerful. We have to be realistic about it. He's very powerful in this world. And we see that to the point where today we know that we are in a spiritual battle, right? It's not about flesh and blood, right? The Bible's very clear on that, all right? But what we're seeing now is that realm where that battle is going on of Satan and his angels and God's angels and all of those things, what we're beginning to see more and more and more all the time, if you're looking, is that becoming manifested in the physical. You understand what I'm saying? So the effects of that, we are beginning to see a lot of the world leaning more and more and more towards evil. Okay? Whether it be in our politics, whether it be in the wars we see going on, we see clashes between, you know, things being taught in school, all of these kind of things. But where are we? We need to be involved in this battle. And remember, it's a spiritual battle, okay? It's only through God's strength can we have any victory in some of the things that we are faced with when it comes to Satan's tactics. So just for a bit, I want us to just look at some of the characteristics of Satan and his tactics that he uses. But I want to just help us understand for a few minutes, and I'm sure you've looked at some of these. But first of all, we just need to be aware aware of the spiritual war we're in. Believers must recognize that they're in a spiritual battle. That's you and me if we're one of God's people. And be vigilant against the devil's schemes. Did you know the devil is a schemer? You know people that have been schemers? I have. Okay. I think it was Mark Twain that said, not all schemers are liars, but all liars are schemers. I'll never forget it. Okay. We're dealing with someone that likes to scheme. And understanding the reality of spiritual warfare helps us as Christians to be prepared. And not only prepared, now we can be prepared forever to go to battle, but never be proactive about it. We just sit back and we just rather take it easy. Yesterday something caught my attention. There was two guys that were talking, and the one asked the other, he said, is an easy, easy day a good day? I'm going to ask you this. Or is a really hard day a good day? Let's be honest. Would you like a nice, easy day? What's better, though? An easy day or a hard day? Does everybody wake up in the morning thinking, boy, I hope it's a tough day today? I bet you don't. Okay? I don't either. But I realize that I can expect it to be. Only if I'm doing something that really counts for Christ. Listen, we're facing an adversary. If there's anything he can do to make our life hard, he will. Okay? But here's the upside. We know we're in a battle, but the battle's already been won. Okay? We know what Jesus did on the cross brought victory to us if we'll accept that gift. How many of you here know Ray Comfort? I'm sure most of you do. He's a big-time evangelist. But he told a story of him and his wife. They're big soccer fans, and it got so that if their team was in the World Cup, I guess you'd call it, they would get so worked up during the game, they'd even kind of just get fighting each other, okay? So they decided to do something. Anybody hear what the story was? Any of you hear what they did? This is very interesting. So they decided they weren't going to watch it live and get all worked up over it. You know, their team might be losing and they get all wound up. And I mean, we have some avid sports fans. I know I even get involved in it some. But anyway, he said what they did, they recorded it. Didn't watch it at all. Didn't look up what the score was till after. Once the game was finished, then they looked to see who won. And they watched it. Because they already knew the outcome, it just simmered things down. Now, I'm not sure if their team lost, if it helped a lot, but I'm sure it did. But what he was saying was, we get all worked up and worried and unsure about things that are going on. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? But we need to know the victory's already been won. That's the beauty. I've been in fights and battles, some I shouldn't have been in. But the thing is, we didn't know who was going to win until the battle was done, right? So that's the way it is. But with Christ in this spiritual battle that we're in, he's already won it. So we need to be aware, okay? Always aware that we're in a spiritual war. Number two is for us to be in this battle and survive. And that's what it's all about, is it not? When you go to battle and warfare, you're facing an enemy that wants to kill you or destroy you, you want to do everything you can to protect yourself, right? Okay, the Bible's very clear. We need to put on the armor of God, okay? If we don't, we're exposed to all kinds of dangers. But we want not only to defeat the enemy, but we want to be able to preserve ourselves, right? Okay? And that's what we need. So what do we do? What we need in today's world. And this can cover a multitude of things, but here's what we need. We need sound doctrine. Very sound doctrine. Doctrine that comes from God's word that is true. And I just want to ask you this. This is not a trick question, but I want you to think about it. Does truth ever change? And you can answer me. truth never changes? Okay. Very good points, too. Okay. Do you believe there's anything today that's taught as truth that isn't true? Okay. How are you going to know the difference? Well, I'm going to call a friend. Because I haven't studied my Bible much, I think they have, so I think I'll call them. And is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. But here's the thing. There's going to be times where you cannot rely on anything but God's Word to know the truth. You can have all kinds of other books. And listen, there's not anything wrong with using different, you know, commentaries, different things. Don't hear me say that. But what I am saying, it doesn't matter what you read or look at, you need to know that it's sound doctrine through this and nothing else. I don't care what man, who is your hero, test everything against God's Word. Because we need sound doctrine. I can tell you today, and you know and I know, there's a lot of false teaching and false doctrines floating around. Let me tell you, that's a tactic of Satan. You better know. You better know who you're dealing with, okay? So Satan is a deceiver. A few characteristics. Satan is a deceiver. He wants to deceive you and I. He started that way back with Adam and Eve, right? Deception is a big one for him. It's said the Israeli army today is one of the best armies in the world at deceiving the enemy. And I believe they really are. But he is a deceiver. And it says also that he's a liar. And not only is he a liar, he is the father of lies. You want to lie? Look to him. He's good at it. A lot of the world today is believing a lie. And just because we're Christians, don't have our chest sticking out and say, well, you'll never fool me. Oh, I see a lot of Christians today getting fooled. Why? They're not getting sound doctrine. And they're believing a lie. But the Bible warned us about it. It said it's going to happen. And it's going to happen more and more and more as time goes along. But I'll just name a few more things and we got to move. I think that clock, if I can see it, is 12 o'clock. Wow, it's going fast. Maybe I'm slow, I don't know. But anyway, it says that he is a murderer. He wants to see every one of us lose our life. And especially before we get to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's his goal. He wants to destroy you, okay? He is a tempter. We're aware of that. He's going to tempt you with things. He's going to put things in front of you that will tempt you to do the wrong thing and step your foot or your neck in that noose or that snare. He's going to make something appealing for you to put your neck in that noose. He's going to deceive you. He's going to lie to you. If possible, he will murder you in that sense, okay? But he is any and everything that's evil, and he wants to counterfeit all kinds of things. He wants it to look like the real deal when it's not at all. Are you guys okay? You with me? Can I have a few more minutes? Okay. I'll try to wrap this up. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But he says this, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Which one do you want? Okay, if you had to pick, I know which one you'd pick. You want the life that's full. Does it mean there be no troubles? Does it mean that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we won't have any trouble? That's not what he's saying at all. In fact, you may have more trouble, okay? I don't say that to discourage you, but I'm just saying that's a fact of life. When you're serving God, you're going to have a huge, huge adversary to go against only through Christ. So that's the contrast. I want you to know, God wants to save you and give you life and give it to you full. Satan wants to destroy anything and everything good. Anything. We need to be aware of that. Every day you need to be aware of that. But here's a few tactics. Okay. One of the things we know, be aware Satan continually sets things in our lives to snare us by appealing to some things that maybe shouldn't be appealing to us, okay? And I don't care what it is. Now, one may, you know, when I said, everybody says, well, I'm doing good. Well, are you? How do you gauge that? What do you look at? Am I doing good? Is Kurt Hale doing good today? We need to know. I may not be doing very good at all. Why? Satan may have a trap, and maybe he caught me by a foot, and he's kind of rendering me useless. But we know that he is very capable of that. But here's, as we go on, I want us to see as we go through what needs to happen when we get caught, okay? Okay, so he's continually setting snares in front of us, temptation, all these things we've talked about. But he wants to set the snare to render us useless for God's purpose. He just don't want you to be doing anything. Okay, if you're one of his, Satan can't touch you as far as your soul. Okay, only God can destroy the soul. But Satan can do things that will make you rendered useless. You've seen it. How many of you have seen TV evangelists that get caught in things? Crippled them. Basically crippled them forever. Some, not all, but some. I have seen Satan get a hold of people's lives in this church that was beginning to destroy them. Maybe there still is. Okay? We need to understand that's why we are Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to care about each other. If we have pride in our life that I want to be somebody, I want authority, I don't want you to have any, all these things, pride, all these things that come in, that's not going to help us grow as a family. We need to care about the things that are going on in your life and my life that may hurt us, okay, and offend us, okay? But here's what we need to know. How do we escape when we've been caught in Satan's snares? You see, all through the Bible uses the word snare a lot. Now, I don't know if you know much about the snaring business. I don't know a lot. I have done some. And believe me, if you're an animal activist, I'm not here to offend anybody. But we need to be good stewards of our livestock. And if something's getting them, I'm going to try to do something about it. If someone's getting you, we need to try and do something about it. All right? We need to help each other out. But here it says, and we're going to go to, I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 2:26. Is it 1 Timothy? Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:26, and I just want to read that for you. Here's what needs to happen. I just want to tell you today, here's where I want to encourage you. If you are or have been or you know someone else that is caught in a snare, here's what needs to happen. Actually, we'll go to verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. What's it saying there? Don't be just jumping up and down for the chance to go really tie into somebody and say, you know, you're doing wrong. You need to quit. I know of a church that split over a guy had got up in the whole middle of the service and looked at the whole congregation, and he said, you need to repent. And he screamed it out. You all need to repent loud. Well, that's true, is it not? We do need to repent. But we need to do it in humility when we're talking to others. Because they may not be interested at all in listening what you have to say if they feel like you're not doing it out of a spirit of love. Okay? Very important. That's what it's saying. Those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth. You don't go up to somebody seeing that they're believing a lie or the truth. Well, you idiot. You're just a bunch of idiots. Oh, that's really effective, isn't it? That'll win them over, right? Okay. Those are just things we don't do. But God is telling us we need to be ready to help them. But we need to do it And we need to do it very gently. And not only that, if they are believing a lie, we need to help them see the truth. Because like we said, the truth never changes. Okay, just because someone says this is not true anymore, well, truth is truth. Just remember that. You know, they used to believe a lot of things about a lot of different things, but we find out they weren't true. Well, what changed? Did the truth change? No, they just never did really know the truth yet. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Truth is truth. That doesn't change. People try to twist it. Satan tries to change it and turn it into something else. But here's just the last few things I'm going to mention here. But know this, in chapter 3 now, that in the last days perilous times will come. That's where we are, folks. For men will be lovers. Now here's some of the effects when Satan gets a hold. Here's what happens. Don't be surprised. And perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. You see any of that today? Ah, man, it's all about me, right? Lovers of money. Oh, do you like your cash? Is that your goal in life, to be the richest? I guess you decide. Boasters. Anybody boast? Okay. Satan wants you to boast about everything you do and have. Okay. That's pride in your heart. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Those are some pretty strong words. Unloving. You ever felt unloved? I've had people say, oh, I just don't feel loved. Well, okay. Why not? What are we going to do to make you feel loved? When they, some of them really mean it, and some are just doing that to accuse you of not loving them for some reason that they'd like to keep doing and living the way they want to live so you don't love me. That's not love at all, you know? My kids, there were things they wanted to do that I didn't think was very good, and I wasn't, to them, very loving. But I loved them so much that I wanted to correct them and keep them on their straight path. That's what God's love's about. It's not for the sake of just being brutal, okay? Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Having a form of God, and traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a list of things that are the effect when you get caught by Satan, when he entraps you. Okay? So we'll stop there on that. Just the last couple of things I want to say. So, it's an awareness Sunday. I just want you to be aware of who we're dealing with, the war that you're in. If you didn't have any trouble from Satan this week, you're probably not doing anything that upset him. The more you try to do for Christ, expect more trouble in the spiritual sense. Okay? But in closing, God's word tells us of the many ways Satan will try to ensnare his people. We must be aware of the enemy, but here's what we must do. We need to remember something, and here's what I want you to remember. But remember, he who's in us is greater than who? He that is in the world. Remember what I said? The victory's already won. Be careful. Aware. If you're not sure about something, whether it's something you need to be doing or not, get in God's Word or talk to a friend and pray. But here's the way we do it. We can't do it on our own. You may think you can. You will get a big shock. I've tried it. It don't work. But we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might makes the difference. He's a big daddy. And he can do anything he wants to do when it comes to taking care of us and protecting us. And he wants to show us that he can be strong in our lives. That's what we really need. So we need to be ready to help people get restored in the right way. Listen, don't look at them as a weak person. You and I will be caught sometimes in things we are going to be affected by. We need help from friends. I've called on neighbors for lots of things. Why? I need their help. We need each other, okay? So remember, we need to do it in the power of His might, with gentleness and meekness. And here's what it does. God provides a way of escape from the devil's snare. Trusting in God's power and provision is essential for overcoming spiritual captivity. So what is it? Trusting in God's power. Put your trust in Him. If you haven't done that today, you need Him. You need Him now. You know why? You may not have another minute or another day or another year. We don't know. There's people dying around us every day, young and old. We need them to know that they need Jesus Christ, okay? And trust in His power. Don't get caught up in all the side things and the rabbit holes that people want you to go down. Focus on Him and His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that You've made us aware of who the enemy is. And Father, for us not to fear and not be scared, but be prepared, but be aware of who we're dealing with and know that we can't deal with Him ourselves. Only through Your power have we any chance of surviving. But because You have provided a gift for us, we know that we can escape and be with You in heaven when You call us home, Father. And just pray for Paul and Shelley today as they travel. We ask You to give them traveling mercies. Be with us today as we leave. May we remember Your word, not my words, but Your word, Father, that we can be aware that Satan's always busy tempting us in any way that he can, using all the tactics he can to snare us in some way. But there is a way out, Father, and we are so thankful for that. Thank You for our Christian brothers and sisters that we can call on, Father, and to help each other to become strong and be unified and to be effective in this community as Your people. Help us to stand up and have courage through You. We ask it all in Your name. Amen. Thank you.